The president goes 0-for-2 in the Senate. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. Senate Republicans have rebuked President Trump not once but twice. On New Year's Day, they voted to override his veto of a national defense bill.
The Democratic-controlled House voted to override earlier in the week. It is the first time Congress has overcome a veto during the Trump presidency. The NDAA is popular, providing pay raises for military members, guiding Pentagon policy, and providing funding for programs in construction.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The GOP also resisted pressure from the president and Democrats to boost coronavirus stimulus checks to $2,000.
Leader McConnell and the Republican majority have prevented them from getting the checks, plain and simple.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrats vow to revive the push for bigger checks once the new Congress is sworn in. Anger over the relief money was apparently expressed in spray paint in San Francisco. Multiple reports say the home of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was vandalized early Friday. Images on social media showed a message reading 2K with a line through it. Police tell Fox News a pig's head was also found on the sidewalk. It's unclear if cops have any suspects. With the holidays behind us, health officials are bracing for another expected surge in coronavirus cases.
Confirmed coronavirus cases in the United States passed 20 million Friday afternoon, according to a continuous count by Johns Hopkins University. It comes less than 1 week after that count reached 19 million.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Ohio State earns a spot in the college football national championship after crushing Clemson in the Sugar Bowl 49-28. The Buckeyes will play Alabama January 11th. America's listening to Fox News.
Newsmax TV is exploding, and everyone's talking about it. Now, a survey says 30 million Americans are watching Newsmax TV all the time. Millions are turning off big cable news, and President Trump says he loves Newsmax. So watch it, and make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking about President Trump conceding the election. It takes a minute. Just text the word OPEN to 39747 and vote instantly. President Trump wants to know your opinion, so text OPEN to 39747 and vote instantly in Newsmax's poll. Plus, watch Newsmax TV with great shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Sean Spicer, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your cable operator you want Newsmax like everyone else. Watch Newsmax TV today and vote in their big poll on Trump. Text OPEN to 39747 and let your voice be heard.
Lawyers for the only woman on federal death row plan to appeal a ruling that paves the way for her execution this month. Lisa Montgomery, who fatally strangled a pregnant woman in 2004 and cut the baby out of her womb, had been scheduled to die in December, but her execution was delayed until January 12th after one of her attorneys contracted the coronavirus. Last week, a federal judge vacated the new date, saying the Justice Department unlawfully rescheduled it, but a federal appeals panel disagreed. Montgomery's legal team plans to appeal to the full court. A new variant of the coronavirus is circulating in at least three states.
This new strain of coronavirus appeared in Florida just in time for the new year, and it comes as public health officials across the United States are already closely tracking this highly contagious variant of the virus that first appeared in Colorado and California, that after it crossed the pond to the United States from Britain.
Fox's Jillian Turner. The case in Colorado was detected in a National Guardsman who was sent to a nursing home to help respond to an outbreak. As Americans clamor to get vaccinated, health officials have a new challenge. Thousands of people who took part in trials didn't get the real thing.
The FDA has now granted emergency use of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines thanks to the clinical trials where some participants got the real vaccine while others got dummy shots of salt water for comparison. Now that the study's over, what about those people who aren't actually vaccinated? Now health experts are debating what to tell study volunteers who got the placebo instead of the real thing. These studies were intended to last for 2 years, but this pandemic is still very much happening and doctors want to protect those who didn't get a real shot for the coronavirus. John Saucier, Fox News.
A severe allergic reaction to the Moderna vaccine has landed an Oregon healthcare worker in the hospital. More than 38,000 vaccines have been administered in the state. Pam Puso, Fox News.
Overall traffic is moving well on the major interstates this morning, including the Beltway in Maryland and Virginia, and on 270 between the Beltway and 70. In Virginia, do keep in mind that a portion of Old Courthouse Road is closed in Vienna between Beasley Road and Creek Crossing Road due to flooding conditions. And in the district in Southeast, in the 4600 block of Hannah Place between 46th Street and Benning Road, that is closed due to a downed tree and wires down in the roadway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today is going to be an amazing day to get out, quite comfortable for early January. Just have to get rid of this fog here this morning, likely burning off at 9 a.m. Cool start, 34 to 39 degrees, but warmer later in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees, more like a day in early or mid-March. And a pretty nice evening, too, but you know what? Rain is going to return to the area starting early, a chilly rain lasting all day, 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. tomorrow, with a small pocket of early morning freezing rain well northwest of D.C. again. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time before your morning exercise.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators file for bankruptcy.
While organizing your receipts.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
During your afternoon snack.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
Upward swings in indices in Europe and Asia.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
And thank you from the wine outlets.
On Tuesday, January 5th, Prince William and Stafford counties vote to replace the 2nd District delegate who abandoned them to run for higher office. We don't need another career politician. The clear choice is a Marine Corps wife, a working mother, and solid conservative. We need Heather Mitchell.
COVID has placed an enormous amount of financial stress on small businesses. I will focus on reviving the economy in our district. I believe businesses know how best to succeed, and I know it starts by removing the heavy hand of government. Our district needs a delegate who understands their concerns and who will focus on the needs of our healthcare heroes, our small businesses, and our schools. And I will never betray the trust you put in me to represent you.
Let your voice be heard. Vote in person January 5th. Learn more and donate at Mitchell4VA.com. That's Mitchell, F-O-R-V-A.com.
This is Heather Mitchell running for the Virginia House of Delegates, District 2, and I approve this message.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, Jill, help. My whole family is coming to my house. How can I keep them entertained?
Well, we have gig speed internet from Xfinity, so we get fast, reliable speed on all our devices.
Interesting. Go on.
Yeah, we stream movies in the living room while we've got video games set up in the basement and music streaming on the patio.
That sounds perfect. We'll be over around 6.
Excuse me?
Oh, and just an FYI, Grandma is keto now, so just be mindful.
Keep your whole family connected with crowd-pleasing gig speed internet. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity Internet TV and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. And get a $100 prepaid card. Plus, get a free upgrade to up to 1 gigabit per second for a year. That's a savings of $360. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Ends 3-8-20. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After term or speed promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
Michael Robinson, people often ask you about your career playing pro football, but I've noticed something. You actually get more enthused about something else. What is it?
Jonathan, as much fun as it is to recall moments from the big game, nothing has been bigger to me than enjoying family. That's why I love the Good Feet Arch Support so much. They have helped me get back to the best parts of my life. Now, the biggest games are in the backyard with those I love.
And we share that joy, Michael, of time with family and making memories without our feet getting in the way. I'm a granddad now, and I love keeping up with my 11 grandkids. Hey, maybe that's something for you to look forward to, Michael.
Being a granddad? Come on, man. I'm enjoying my active life as a young man with a young family. Don't rush me.
Hey, no problem, Michael. Don't let foot, knee, or back pain stop you. Come in for your free fitting and test walk. Make an appointment today at goodfeet.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning and a happy new year. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton in our producer this morning, and kind of a bizarre week in Washington. A lot of activity on Capitol Hill, including New Year's Eve and actually New Year's Day. And the new Congress will come in tomorrow. And what's going on up there? Have you been kind of tuned out a little bit? Well, the back and forth on Capitol Hill in the Senate this week has been over the coronavirus stimulus relief package. And there's been an effort that was actually led by President Trump and Democrats to increase direct payments to $2,000. Well, Mitch McConnell has been against that. And here's what Mitch had to say.
Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer are trying to pull a fast one on the president and the American people. Speaker Pelosi structured her bill so that a family of four would have to earn more than $300,000 in order not to qualify for more cash. And Democratic leaders want to call this scheme, quote, survival checks.
So that's Mitch McConnell, and he continued in his pitch.
Socialism for rich people is a terrible way to help the American families that are actually struggling. So let me say that again. Borrowing from our grandkids to do socialism for rich people is a terrible way to get help to families who actually need it.
And this really brought a rebuke from Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer, too.
Claiming yesterday that direct stimulus checks were, quote, poorly targeted. Bemoaning the idea that some of the checks might go into, quote, the hands of Democrats' rich friends who don't need the help, unquote. Senator Toomey said much the same thing. Well, funny, I don't remember the Republican leader and Senator Toomey complaining about how a $2 trillion across-the-board corporate tax cut was poorly targeted because some large companies didn't need the help.
Now, Schumer is pretty adamant.
At the end of this painful year and at the beginning of a new one, to give Americans reason for hope in 2021, let's have a vote, pass this bill.
Bernie Sanders and Senator Hawley. Sanders is the rather progressive self-declared socialist. Josh Hawley, of course, is a very conservative Republican. Here's the contrast. Normally, you would see them at basically the opposite ends of the Senate floor, but they're on the same page on the bill.
When we have differences of opinion, what we should be doing is debating that bill. All that I am asking is a simple request. Bring the bill to the floor.
I do not object. In fact, I enthusiastically support the measures that Senator Sanders is trying to bring to the floor, and I'd vote for them both if we were given the opportunity.
And then, of course, there's Senator John Thune from South Dakota, who views things differently.
This proposal is a shotgun approach where a rifle makes a lot more sense.
So that's some sense of what's going on the COVID relief package. And the Senate active on Friday. They were at it yesterday, and they overrode President Trump. That's right. President Trump had vetoed the $741 billion defense policy bill, but senators voting 81-13 yesterday to enact the annual National Defense Authorization Act, and that vote of 81 in favor of enacting the bill was well above the two-thirds majority needed to overturn the presidential veto. The House had voted to override Trump by a wide margin on Monday of this past week. That override of the president's veto is the first of President Trump's term. Some people are saying, well, the president's losing his juice in the last couple of weeks and not getting the support that he obviously had enjoyed from Republicans in the past. But that's really bringing up the issue for Republicans of what happens down at the grassroots level when the very, very strong following of President Trump and the anti-establishment following of President Trump now sees these senators going back against President Trump. So what happens when this gets into primaries, and what happens when this gets into the next elections in 2022 and 2024? A lot of worry among Republicans, especially Republicans at the state level. I was talking with a Republican leader in California who said that the establishment Republicans have no idea how their supporters are feeling across the country in this sort of back and forth with the president. And obviously the concerns about election security and concerns that not enough is being done about it. Big question marks for Republicans moving forward, but there are equally as many question marks for Democrats. Will Speaker Pelosi be reelected as Speaker of the House? That's a question mark. A couple of House Democrats have said they're not going to vote for her, and it's a very thin margin in the House. And we're going to talk with John Gizzi about that a little bit later on this morning. And she's not necessarily a shoo-in as the Speaker for the new session, which opens tomorrow. And that's just one of the things we'll be talking with John Gizzi about. We'll get latest from John on that deadlock that we've been talking about. That'll be coming up a bit later on this morning. Of course, the coronavirus is in the news as the numbers continue to grow. Now, over 20 million coronavirus cases have been reported in the United States. 347,000 deaths attributed to coronavirus as of this morning. There is a new strain, a new mutation, and we're going to talk with Dr. Bob Lajita. We've had him on quite a bit. You've seen him on Fox. We'll talk with Bob Lajita this morning. We're going to get his read on the vaccines. You've heard about some reactions to the vaccines. What does the doctor think about that? What does the doctor think about the new mutation and how the vaccines will respond to it? We will be talking with Dr. Bob Lajita a bit later on this morning on the Saturday Morning Update. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is coming up, and we're going to talk with Tony about the back and forth with Iran we've had in the past week. Now, the one-year anniversary of the death of the General Soleimani that we took out last year about this time, the one-year anniversary coming up, Iran has been making some inflammatory statements. We sent B-52s for a flyover over Iran earlier in the week. So things are heating up a little bit. We'll get Tony Schaefer's read on that. And something very interesting about how social media and tech are using avatars. And what does that mean for you? Digital avatars, it's a little bit abstract, but very important, and something that could be affecting you in the weeks and months ahead, you know, as you're just online. I mean, these things going on, and we don't know about it, but Tony will be exposing some information that you should well be aware of. Jennifer Harper will join us very shortly, and there is some good news for President Trump. He won in a poll that had had Barack Obama as the winner for the past 8 or 9 years. Well, President Trump has emerged at the top of a major national poll, and we'll talk with Jennifer about that coming up. Censorship in 2020, that's a big deal. The Hunter Biden story being censored, and Jennifer's going to run down the most censored stories of 2020. Carly Fiorina has a new job. You'll be very interested because it's not here in Washington, but it's not too far away. Jennifer's going to run down a poll that measures how people are feeling as we go into the Biden presidency, the level of enthusiasm. And as you can imagine, it's not great. And we're going to be chatting with Jennifer Harper about that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. As we mentioned, John Gizzi will have the very latest on what's been going on the Hill this week. Still one congressional seat undecided. Which one is it? Well, we'll find out with John. And they actually did decide one this week. We'll have the latest scorecard for you if you're keeping score on the November elections, which are still not 100% resolved when it comes to Capitol Hill. And we're also going to check in with KT McFarland, and we're going to get her read on where things go into 2021 with the incoming Biden administration. So we've got a lot to cover for you here on the Saturday Morning Update. Let's head over to the WMAL Traffic Center and also check out the latest weather.
Overall, the volume of traffic is light on the major interstates this morning, but some foggy conditions reported in the area, so use extra caution. Getting reports of a crash now on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway southbound at Kenilworth Avenue. And in Virginia, some minor accident activity on the outer loop ramp to southbound 95 along the right shoulder and the right side of that ramp, so use caution there. Also, heads up, in the district, Hanna Place is closed between 46th Street and Benning Road in Southeast due to a downed tree and wires in the roadway. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today is going to be an amazing day to get out, quite comfortable for early January. Just have to get rid of this fog here this morning, likely burning off at 9 a.m. Cool start, 34 to 39 degrees, but warmer later in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees, more like a day in early or mid-March. And a pretty nice evening, too, but you know what? Rain is going to return to the area starting early, a chilly rain lasting all day, 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. tomorrow, with a small pocket of early morning freezing rain well northwest of D.C. again. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Hi, Amy.
Oh, Jill, help. My whole family is coming to my house. How can I keep them entertained?
Well, we have gig speed internet from Xfinity, so we get fast, reliable speed on all our devices.
Interesting. Go on.
Yeah, we stream movies in the living room while we've got video games set up in the basement and music streaming on the patio.
That sounds perfect. We'll be over around 6.
Excuse me?
Oh, and just an FYI, Grandma is keto now, so just be mindful.
Keep your whole family connected with crowd-pleasing gig speed internet. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity Internet TV and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. And get a $100 prepaid card. Plus, get a free upgrade to up to 1 gigabit per second for a year. That's a savings of $360. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Ends 3-8-20. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After term or speed promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. All eyes at Georgia coming up between now and Tuesday. All eyes on the state of Georgia. President-elect Joe Biden, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris traveling to Georgia this weekend. They will be campaigning. Harris will visit Savannah, Georgia tomorrow. Joe Biden will appear in Atlanta on Monday. And he'll be in a dueling rally. President Trump will be campaigning in Georgia as well on Monday. Of course, the Democrats there to support John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, and the Republicans there in support of Senator David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Now, to complicate things, if you've not been paying the most attention to the news over the past couple of days, Senator David Perdue, the Republican candidate, is quarantining. He was exposed to a staff member who has coronavirus. He says he feels fine and he has not tested positive for coronavirus at this point, but he is quarantining. That is about the last thing you want to do 4 or 5 days out from an election, is to self-quarantine, especially in an election that is as tight as this one. But that is the latest. Senator David Perdue self-quarantining in Georgia this weekend. Of course, the big vote is on Tuesday, and there are a lot of concerns about election security. Some 8,000 Republican volunteers will be across the state of Georgia watching the polls very, very carefully. So that's one thing to keep an eye on as we get into the week ahead. That and everything going on up on Capitol Hill. Some other things going on around the country that we'll be keeping an eye on. It's some of the new laws, some crazy new laws, and we're going to talk about some of those a little bit later on the program this morning, things you need to be aware of, and there's some strange stuff going on. So that's all coming up, and do stay with us here on the Saturday Morning Update. We're at 6:25.
This is Governor Larry Hogan. We've been fighting COVID-19 for what seems like forever, but we need to keep on, all of us, keep on wearing our masks, keep on watching our distance, keep on washing our hands. A vaccine is on the way. Now more than ever, we must keep on doing whatever it takes to slow the spread of COVID-19. In other words, wear the damn mask. Keep on, Maryland.
Brought to you by the Maryland Department of Health.
Interesting times.
It's an interesting topic to think about.
A lot of people in this country in the same situation as me
can lead to some interesting conversations.
Oh my God, I'm actually talking to live humans.
And you're invited to join in.
Look at the data.
They're spiking up the panic, but you guys keep it real.
Opinions are not necessarily truth. They are just that, opinions.
This is where Washington comes to talk.
I listen for hope. I listen for clarity. I appreciate the discussion.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Well, we do have some new laws coming into effect here in the DMV, as it's more appropriately called now. And if you're looking around out there in Virginia and you see somebody who has got their telephone in their hand while they're driving, well, that's a violation now. That's right. You've got to put the phone down in Virginia. Now, that's a law that's already in effect in D.C. and in Maryland. And some people in Maryland may see a spike in their pay with minimum wages going up in Maryland. Now, this will impact people working in Prince George's and Montgomery counties. The minimum wage goes from $11 an hour to $11.70 an hour. It applies to businesses with 15 or more employees. Businesses with 14 or fewer will go up to $11.60 an hour. I wonder how many days it took to debate that 10-cent difference. In Montgomery County, a 30-hour work week is now guaranteed for janitors and other building maintenance staff in privately owned buildings. Why? Well, the goal is to expand health insurance to more people. In Prince George's County, another big change starts January 4th. If your car is impounded for any reason, you will have to pay all outstanding parking and traffic tickets before you can get your car back. In Virginia, starting March 1st, law enforcement will no longer be able to search or seize any person, place, or thing solely on the basis of the odor of marijuana. So if you got some guy that's a pothead but also a drug dealer and he's got a carload of pot, well, just because you smell the pot, you can't search or seize any person, place, or thing just because you smell the marijuana. Geniuses in the Virginia House passed that one. Gun owners, or if you're planning to buy a firearm, you cannot take the concealed weapons safety course online anymore in Virginia. You have to do it in person. Also in Virginia, there is a cap on how much insurance companies can charge for a 30-day use of insulin. In D.C., they're going green. New environmental standards for large buildings owned by the city and privately. D.C. is looking to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and energy consumption by 50% by 2032. The styrofoam ban is expanding in D.C. Businesses can no longer sell foam storage containers like coolers, and they can no longer sell packing peanuts. So that gives you some sense of what our legislators have been up to. D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Fabulous, huh? Well, at 6:30, this is the Saturday Morning Update. We'll check the news next.
One by one.
Thank you for taking my call.
Every caller gets their say.
You know, there's so many issues.
And whether you agree...
I think you're politically wrong.
...or disagree...
I will have to agree with you.
You're invited to join the conversation. 105.9 FM WMAL.
Advanced security from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi protects your connected devices from online threats 24/7.
But hey, you're probably safe without it. Probably. Like how that free streaming website was probably not a scam. All those pop-ups were probably just local businesses. And when you accidentally clicked that link, it probably didn't give access to hackers. I mean, someone's probably not downloading your bank info as we speak, which they probably won't use to pour your savings into their new four-story chalet grand with an infinity pool, floor-to-ceiling windows, and the dream car you always wanted. Yeah, you're probably fine. Or you could know your network is covered with advanced security from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. It keeps an eye on your network, sends you alerts in real time, and helps you avoid sketchy sites, so you don't have to worry if you're probably okay. Restrictions apply. Copyright 2020 Cox Communications, Inc. All rights reserved.
And it's 6:30, and a check of the news at this hour. In Washington, the Senate has wrapped up a rare New Year's Day session. Republicans rejecting President Trump's demand for $2,000 COVID-19 aid checks. Democrats vowing to try again to approve more COVID-19 aid when the new Congress convenes tomorrow. The president lashing out at GOP leaders, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Congress has provided enough pandemic aid for now. Smaller $600 checks are being mailed to households as we speak. Iran says it plans to enrich uranium up to 20% at its underground Fordo nuclear facility as soon as possible. That's according to the head of Iran's civilian nuclear program. The International Atomic Energy Agency says Iran also informed its inspectors of the decision, which said came after Parliament mandated the move. Iran's decision to begin enriching to 20% a decade ago nearly brought an Israeli strike targeting its nuclear facilities. Georgia Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler are, of course, campaigning this weekend, as are Democratic candidates John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. Senator Perdue will be campaigning virtually. As we mentioned earlier, he is in self-quarantine after being exposed to a staff member who was diagnosed with COVID-19. The senator has not tested positive at this time for COVID-19. Congress overriding President Trump's veto of a defense policy bill, and that was a first by lawmakers since the president took office nearly 4 years ago. That was another activity in that New Year's Day session. The Republican-controlled Senate easily turned aside the veto, ensured the measure becomes law. Lawmakers dismissing the president's objections to the $740 billion bill. The president had rejected the defense measure last week, said it failed to limit social media companies he claimed were biased against him. Trump also opposed language that allows for the renaming of military bases that honor Confederate leaders. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit led by House Republicans that seek to give Vice President Pence the power to overturn the results of the election. Congress will formally count the Electoral College votes this week. Pence, as president of the Senate, will oversee the session on Wednesday. He will declare the winner of the White House race. The Electoral College this month cemented the 306-232 victory for Joe Biden. Multiple legal efforts by President Trump's campaign to challenge the results have failed so far. That suit had named Pence as the defendant and asked the court to throw out the 1887 law that spells out how Congress handles the vote counting, that law from 1887. 6:35, time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In the district so far, traffic is moving well on the freeway between the 14th Street Bridge and the 11th Street Bridge. In southeast, do keep in mind that Hanna Place is closed in both directions between 46th Street and Benning Road due to a downed tree and wires in the roadway. Getting reports of a crash on the BW Parkway southbound at the Beltway, on the outer loop of the Beltway at the Springfield Interchange on the ramp to southbound 95, right lane of the ramp is blocked with accident activity, not causing much of a delay. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Today is going to be an amazing day to get out, quite comfortable for early January. Just have to get rid of this fog here this morning, likely burning off at 9 a.m. Cool start, 34 to 39 degrees, but warmer later in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees, more like a day in early or mid-March. And a pretty nice evening, too, but you know what? Rain is going to return to the area starting early, a chilly rain lasting all day, 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. tomorrow, with a small pocket of early morning freezing rain well northwest of D.C. again. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
41 degrees in the nation's capital at 636.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Keppel here, serial entrepreneur. I started my first business in a dingy basement of a factory in 1986. Instead of customers, my visitors were rats, birds, flies, and snakes. To psych myself up that I was going to succeed, I wore formal business attire and a tie to that lonely factory basement every day. I was a total type A business geek, crunching spreadsheets for my accounting. Today, my fifth successful business, Patriot Software, makes accounting simple for accountants and non-accountants alike, eliminating the need for many of us business geeks to crunch spreadsheets or wear formal business attire ever again. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of accounting software free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
And a happy new year from the Saturday morning update, and a happy new year to Jennifer Harper. Of course, she joins us each weekend from the Washington Times. She writes Inside the Beltway, always got some great scoop. Jennifer, good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Well, good morning. Happy new year, everybody, and thanks for listening all year.
At the end of the year, different polls come out. We always talk about sort of the highlights of the year. Gallup had a really cool highlight for President Trump, and I will let you explain.
Yes, this is a feel-good moment for everybody listening today, because this is a major Gallup poll. I always pay attention to their surveys, and they found that President Trump was cited as the most admired man of 2020. Okay? Now, he beat out President Obama, Vice President, or President-elect Biden, Anthony Fauci, Pope Francis, Bernie Sanders, and a host of others for this title. And also, he had solid support from the members of his own political party. About half of Republicans named Mr. Trump as third man this year, and no other public figure cited by Republicans received more than 2% of their votes. So Trump really ran away with that among his own folks. And this was a poll that was conducted December 1 through 17. Took him a while to do this. But more interesting, Rick, is that Gallup says this. This year marks the 10th time that Trump has finished among the top 10 men, including 4 times before he entered party politics, 1988 through 1990 and 2011. This is according to Gallup, and this is a poll that they have been conducting since 1946. And on that historic note, Gallup also found that Ronald Reagan made the top 10 most admired list 31 times, and he was bested only by evangelist Billy Graham, who was cited 61 times in this particular poll. And again, it goes back to 1946, and Trump triumphed. There you go. Happy New Year, everybody.
Jim Acosta made some headlines this week, and I think indicative of how the media will be treating Joe Biden much differently than they treated Donald Trump. What about the perils that journalists faced in 2020?
Well, that's an interesting thought altogether. And, you know, certainly Mr. Acosta has some ideas about what things are going to be like in the near future. But there's a nonprofit group called the Committee to Protect Journalists. And they're pretty well an international group. And they look and see how journalists do when they're out on the road or covering something interesting or dangerous. So here's what they say. In an unforgettably tumultuous year, journalists across the world covering the ongoing pandemic, dangerous protests, natural disasters, active conflicts, elections, and other life-changing events, they found that they risked their own physical safety and psychological well-being and found themselves the subject of increased digital abuse, meaning, you know, getting slammed on social media and so forth and so on. Again, this is coming from the Committee for to Protect Journalists. And things were so bad, they said, that they issued a safety advisor for journalists who were covering COVID-19. And the 2020 elections were considered so hazardous that the organization also assembled a U.S. elections safety kit for the news media. How about that? Anyway, the organization, they highlighted the risks of protests, rallies, online and digital attacks against journalists covering the vote. And so far, they have documented this year 60 election-related press freedom violations. They also assisted 750 journalists around the world this year for emergency grants, safety consultations, and other types of advisories about their safety hazards on the job. They said that journalists covering the COVID-19 pandemic had to quickly figure out how to protect themselves from the virus while covering the biggest news story in a generation. And they're citing other events that took place in Beirut and Armenia, and also the wildfires in U.S., Brazil, and Australia. But it's interesting that all of a sudden they're saying that journalists are in peril, but apparently that's what this group has found.
So that's about journalists reporting the news. What about the stories that didn't get reported in 2020? And just sort of the egregious behavior of many in the media that is so troubling after we saw what happened with the Hunter Biden story. But what are some of the top censored stories of 2020 that may be brand new to somebody listening this morning?
Yeah, well, indeed. I think that's a wonderful way to put it about what was not covered, because there was plenty that was not covered. And technically, these were suppressed stories, but others would say that they are censored. And, you know, you have to remember there was an awful lot that President Trump was involved in that just didn't get the press it deserved, certainly. And, you know, among those were all those significant victories he did in the past 4 years for the economy, for the diplomatic realms. I mean, let's not forget going to North Korea. That was historic. Didn't get that much coverage. But anyway, you know, he rejuvenated the nation's global image. He shored up the southern U.S. border. He bulked up the military. And, you know, a lot of journalists were very selectively silent about all of this, and that doesn't do anybody any good, because Americans need to, they deserve to know that there's some good news out there. And there is a columnist who really summarized this in a very smart way. His name is Frank Meehl. He's a columnist for Real Clear Politics, so it was a good site. He's a longtime a newspaper guy up in Montana, so he's kind of a grassroots guy. And so he did an overview of what the most censored story of 2020 were, and of course they all involved Mr. Trump, and he puzzled over the whole mysterious mutating lockdown stories, which, you know, pictured Americans who were huddled at home while the politicians and celebrities were out partying, and the uneven effects of the lockdown in different states and so forth and so on. And he also wondered about, you know, misinformation about hydroxychloroquine. But Mr. Meehl has a very nice summary for all of us this morning amidst all these confusing moments. He wonders about President-elect Joseph R. Biden's son, Hunter Biden. This is what he writes. Hunter Biden's laptop, the ability to bury the Hunter Biden story throughout the 2020 presidential campaign, ranks as one of the greatest victories in the history of propaganda. Again, this is coming from Frank Meehl, columnist for Real Clear Politics. And there's a big grand finale to all of this, and I'm sure you guys know what it is. And this is what he says. It turned out that everything that happened in 2020 before November 3rd was just a prologue for the greatest deception in American history, namely the hijacking of a presidential election through means both legal and illegal. Most importantly, every state that changed its election procedure without the consent of its legislature violated the U.S. Constitution. That's why Republicans plan to challenge the Electoral College vote on January 6th. Whether you like Donald Trump or not should be irrelevant. You either follow the Constitution or you don't. Again, that's coming from Frank Meehl of Real Clear Politics.
So a prominent name in business and in politics will be joining a very historic organization not far from us.
Yes, that's right. Let us recall Carly Fiorina. And she has a new role in politics, Rick, but it's of the 18th century variety. She has just been named chairman of the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. This is the force behind this beloved historic site down south in Virginia. And apparently in some kind of a transition, but Ms. Fiorina is going to be the chairman of the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. This is what they have to say. She's going to guide the museum's continued evolution into a destination that celebrates diverse and inclusive viewpoints through programming that explores the social and political complexities negotiated by America's founding generation. That's coming from Williamsburg. And from Ms. Fiorina, also in a statement, she says, "There is tremendous anticipation around building a better future by learning from our ancestors' story and struggles, seeking inspiration from their aspirations and ingenuity, and reflecting upon the nation they built. This historic destination is uniquely suited to play a pivotal role in helping Americans understand the complexities and contradictions of our past, woo, and how they inform our future." That's a statement from Ms. Fiorina. And it's an interesting group because also on the foundation board is Sheila Johnson. She's co-founder of the BET Network and also president of the Washington Mystics. And also on the foundation, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch and retired Justice Anthony Kennedy. So interesting news down there. We'll, you know, take a peek in every now and then and see how that all plays out.
All right, so we know people are feeling down about the election, but what are you seeing in terms of surveys about it?
Well, this is a kind of a personalized one. It's coming from the Economist YouGov poll that was conducted very recently, December 19th through 22nd. They measured how many people are upset about the next 4 years with President-elect Joe Biden as president. That is their exact words. People who are upset about the prospect of 4 years with Mr. Biden. Anyway, let's go to the numbers. 27% of all U.S. adults are upset. That includes 63% of Republicans, 24% of independents, and even 2% of Democrats agree with that. And 15% overall are dissatisfied but not upset about the next 4 years. That includes 25% of Republicans, 19% of independents, and another 2% of those Democrats. And 25% overall, that's only a quarter of the respondents here, are enthusiastic about the next 4 years. And that includes 2% of Republicans, 13% of independents, and 60% of Democrats. Last but not least, 22% overall are satisfied but not enthusiastic about the next 4 years. That would be 6% of Republicans, 26% of independents, and 30% of Democrats. So it's kind of like, meh, 4 years, bleh, whatever. Anyway, that's our poll of the day from the Economist YouGov folks about the emotions that are out there.
Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Follow her in 2021 at Harper Bulletin on Twitter. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and have a good second day of the year, folks.
We are going to check the latest on the traffic and weather, and then when we return, we will be telling you about the brand new museum that will be coming to Washington. We'll talk with one of the board members, and that's next. You'll find this interesting. But right now, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Overall traffic continues to move well on the Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia, but just a minor incident to watch out for on the outer loop at the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. That is confined to the right shoulder. And on the outer loop of the ramp to southbound 95 in Springfield, just some accident activity on the right shoulder, not causing any delays. So far as you travel on 95 in Virginia, that looks clear headed from Dale City and towards Springfield, and no delays on 395 in the Beltway to the 14th Street Bridge. In the district, just a heads up that Hanna Place is still closed in southeast between 46th and Benning Road due to a downed tree in the roadway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Today is going to be an amazing day to get out, quite comfortable for early January. Just have to get rid of this fog here this morning, likely burning off at 9 a.m. Cool start, 34 to 39 degrees, but warmer later in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees, more like a day in early or mid-March. And a pretty nice evening, too, but you know what? Rain is going to return to the area starting early, a chilly rain lasting all day, 4 a.m. until 6 p.m. tomorrow, with a small pocket of early morning freezing rain well northwest of D.C. again. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
41 degrees in the nation's capital, 651 on the Saturday morning update.
Wow.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Of course, it is a new year, and it is a new year and a new era for Hispanic heritage in America. Something very special has just taken place in legislation. We are joined by Mario Rodriguez. He's on President Trump's Commission for Hispanics for Prosperity, and he is on the board of directors of the New American Latino Museum. Mario, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, good morning, Rick. Very nice to be here.
Well, we've seen some of the headlines about the new museum that will be located here in Washington. And give us a little bit on the history. This is not something that just happened overnight.
No, Rick, it has not. In fact, this has been in the works for 26 years. And it's been a labor of love for Hispanics throughout this country. And it's been a bipartisan effort, which has been so unbelievable to see both sides of the aisle come together to do something that's so important for Hispanics in this country. So no, it's been it started 26 years ago. And then in 2006, President George W. Bush put together a commission to study the feasibilities and to see if we can literally have a Latino museum built on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
Tell us a little bit about what will be included in the museum.
Oh, Rick, it's going to be exciting. You're going to see anything that has to do with the last 500 years of anything that's been Latino-driven, that's been you're going to see artifacts. You're going to see the background of people that have done something Hispanic, that have done something significant in their lifetime in this country. Some of the things, some of the really cool things. You're probably going to see something like Roberto Clemente's bat, maybe his uniform, Albert Pujols, who's, from a Latino that is just broke. He's like number four on the all-time home run list. You're going to see celebrities, that have done something significant in their career. We're going to see, of course, Emilio Estefan, Gloria Estefan, maybe Alberto Gonzalez, Judge Alberto Gonzalez, the first Hispanic ever to be a legal counsel to a president and attorney general of the United States. Anybody that's been a first of anything in this country has to be Latino. They will be in there. In this country, Latinos have been a big part of building this country. I mean, the things from working in the fields to the hospitality to education, Brown versus the Board of Education, how we got that landmark legislation that was done for Hispanics in this country. Anything you can think of that has been significant in the Hispanic community will be in there, and the story will be told.
Well, it's been over two decades in the works. Tell us a little bit about how it finally came to fruition, the president's role, and obviously the most recent passage in Congress.
26 years we've been working on this, Rick. And then recently, as I serve on the board, what we did this last about 3 weeks ago, 3 to 4 weeks ago, Congress voted unanimous to approve the museum. But it had to be unanimous in the Congress and the Senate. So everything was great. We got it done in this Congress, and then it went to the Senate, and everything looked good, but we had to get a unanimous vote in the Senate. Everything looked great, and then at the last minute, Senator Lee out of Utah voted against it, which is so sad that one person that for no apparent reason decided to vote against it, and he killed it. So the last thing we could do, we had Senator Cornyn, we had Senator Melendez, and we're able to get it into the stimulus package. So then what that meant was that the president signed that bill in order for it to become law, which now appropriates the money for us to secure the land to build the museum. So now we've got the land. We got the money to secure the land. So now we'll do a feasibility study on location. Yes, exactly. So we'll do that. And then that takes about 18 months. But in between that time, now the work starts on raising the money because we have the money to secure the land. Now we have to raise about $400 million to literally build the museum, which will take between everything from start to finish with feasibility studies and to complete the museum about 10 years. So in 10 years, folks from all over this country will be able to go and see the history of Latinos in this country.
And the funding is a mix of federal funding as well as private funding, correct?
Right. The money, the federal government is going to put the money up to secure the land, and to build the museum will be privately raised.
You know, Mario, the last 4 years, the Democrats and Republicans have agreed on very little, and we've seen how it's even carried into the New Year's weekend with the Senate in session yesterday trying to resolve the coronavirus relief package. But you were able to get bipartisan support. That's quite an accomplishment.
And it was so great to see that on our board we have Democrats and Republicans. And it was unanimous on how we got everything approved and how we worked so close together to get this done. And it was so that just goes to show when you really want to get something done, we can put politics aside and do something for the right reason and do something for the right reason in this country and for Latinos and everybody in this country to see.
Mario Rodriguez, member of the board of directors of the American Latino Museum. Thank you very much for letting us know all about it this morning, Mario.
Thank you, Rick. Anytime. Appreciate it.
It's 6:57 on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. 7 o'clock hour is coming up. We'll talk with John Gizzi, of course, get the latest on what's going on with the Congress and what to expect in the week ahead. Also, we will talk with Dr. Bob Lahida, the very latest on the coronavirus, the new mutation, and the vaccines. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is coming up, a little dust-up with Iran maybe coming in the weeks ahead. Iran is doing a little saber-rattling this morning, as we mentioned in the news, and we're going to be talking to Tony Schaefer about that. KT McFarland is on the way as well, and we'll talk about the new incoming Biden administration and, what they need to be aware of. That's all coming up. Saturday Morning Update.
Set up your Amazon Echo to hear Rush weekdays noon to 3.
It's not complicated at all.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Then to listen, just say, Alexa, open WMAL.
People in this audience are fully informed.
Details at WMAL.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Of course, New Year's weekend is college football weekend, and number 3, Ohio State, routed number 2, Clemson, final score 49-28, that in the Sugar Bowl semifinals. The Buckeyes now head to the CFP championship game for the first time since the inaugural playoff. They will face number 1, Alabama, on January 11th. That takes place at Hard Rock Stadium in South Florida. Ohio State beat the Crimson Tide in the semifinals on the way to the 2014 National Championship. Now they have to go through the mighty Bama once again. It's 6:59. We've got the 7 o'clock news coming up next with Heather Curtis, and then we're back with John Gizzi. Stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.